Oh, hello. Hi. Welcome. Make yourself comfortable. This is Zach, and you're listening to Reads on the Bitcoin Well podcast. Touching on Bitcoin news, this week the state of Texas quietly announced they're pulling their $10 million Bitcoin reserve out of BlackRock's IBIT and moving it into direct custody. They also just named a Bitcoin Reserve Advisory Committee to oversee the whole thing. Let's break this down. The state of Texas, second biggest economy in the U.S., with every bank on earth begging for their business, looked at their position in a custodial ETF and said, yeah, not good enough. They want the actual coins on their own infrastructure, protected by their own keys. Bros, you love to see it. First they laugh at you, and then they fight you, and then they buy the ETF, then they take self-custody. And here's what gets me. Texas figured this out from a position of total financial privilege. Now imagine being one of the 1.4 billion adults on Earth right now with no bank account at all, no on-ramp, no safety net, no appeal process when the system decides you don't belong. Speaking of which, today's article is one I wrote called "The Unbanked Already Know What the Rest of Us Are Starting to Figure Out." We'll look at why the legacy system was never built to serve the people who need it most, how Lightning is rewriting the remittance math in real time, and why CBDCs aren't financial inclusion, they're conditional access in disguise. So step out of the chaos with the news cycle and relax into some knowledge and understanding. If anything in this one strikes a chord, send me a note at z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. That's z.addair@bitcoinwell.com. I respond to every email. Without further ado, enjoy the show. The Unbanked Already Know What the Rest of Us Are Starting to Figure Out by Zach Adair. There are roughly 1.4 billion adults on Earth right now with no access to a bank account. Not 1.4 billion people without a good bank account or a convenient one, no account at all. No way to save, send, receive, or protect the money they earn. No on-ramp to the global economy, just cash in hand and a prayer that nobody takes it. The traditional financial system has had decades to solve this problem. It hasn't. And the reason isn't technical, it's structural. The legacy system was never designed to serve people who aren't profitable to serve. Bitcoin was. Who are the unbanked, and why does it keep getting worse? The unbanked aren't a monolith. They fall into a few distinct categories, and understanding the difference matters. Some are excluded by circumstance. No fixed address, no government ID, no minimum balance to keep an account open. In low-income communities, banks have been quietly shutting down physical branches for years, cutting costs by abandoning the neighborhoods that need them most. What fills the gap? Payday lenders charging 400% annualized interest, pawn shops, check cashing services that skim a percentage off every paycheck, predatory by design, legal by default. Some are excluded by geography. There are more people on Earth with a smartphone than with access to a bank branch. In sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, and rural Latin America, the infrastructure for traditional banking simply doesn't exist. But the infrastructure for Bitcoin, a phone, and an internet connection already does. Some are excluded by conflict and displacement. This one tends to get overlooked in Western conversations. When a border closes, when a regime changes, when a war starts, your bank account doesn't travel with you. We've watched this play out in Ukraine, in Lebanon, in Afghanistan, in Venezuela, most recently in Iran. Life savings are frozen or simply gone because they existed as a number in someone else's database, in someone else's country, under someone else's rules. And then there's a newer category that's growing fast in places like Canada, the US, and the UK, the debanked. These aren't people who couldn't access the system. These are people the system decided to remove. In 2022, the Canadian government froze the bank accounts of people who donated to the trucker convoy protests. Not convicted of anything, not charged with anything, just on the wrong side of a political movement. Banks complied within hours. No court order required. In the U.S., Operation Choke Point targeted legal businesses, firearms dealers, crypto companies, and others that regulators deem politically inconvenient by quietly pressuring banks to close their accounts. The message was clear. Access to your own money is a privilege, not a right. Behave accordingly. This is the world Bitcoin was designed to fix. The Bitcoin solution, what actually changes? Well, first, it's permissionless by design. You don't need a credit score to use Bitcoin. You don't need a utility bill, a proof of address, a government ID, or a branch manager's approval. You need a phone and a connection to the internet. That's it. No application, no waiting period, no minimum balance, no terms of service that can be revoked because someone in a government office doesn't like your politics. This is what rules without rulers looks like in practice. The protocol doesn't know your name, your nationality, your income, or your voting record. It just verifies the math and processes the transaction. For 1.4 billion people, that's not a philosophical statement, it's a lifeline. Secondly, Lightning changes the remittance math entirely. Remittances, which is money sent across borders, usually from workers in more wealthy countries back to families in developing ones, represent one of the largest financial flows in the world. Over $800 billion per year moves this way, and a non-trivial portion of that gets eaten by fees. Western Union, MoneyGram, and traditional wire transfers can take 5 to 10% off the top. For a family in Nigeria or El Salvador receiving $200 a month from a relative working in Canada, that's $10 to $20 gone before it arrives every month. For decades, it's a tax on poverty extracted by intermediaries who add nothing of value. The Lightning Network changes the math entirely. Instant settlement, fees measured in fractions of a cent. A construction worker in Edmonton can send sats to his family in Lagos, and they receive it in seconds for almost nothing. No bank involved, no correspondent bank chain, no 3 to 5 business days. Strike built its remittance product on Lightning for exactly this reason. The Philippines, El Salvador, Nigeria, Kenya, Lightning adoption is moving fastest in the places where the legacy system fails people hardest. That's not a coincidence. Thirdly, a savings tool that doesn't melt. Here's something that rarely gets said plainly. If you're poor and you save in cash, inflation is a direct tax on your discipline. You sacrificed, you went without, you put money aside, and then the central bank printed more of it and quietly stole a percentage of everything you saved. There's no opt-out. There's no appeal. It just happens year after year while the people closest to the money printer see their assets appreciate and everyone else watches their purchasing power quietly erode. Bitcoin's fixed supply of 21 million coins means no one can do that to you. Not the central bank of your country, not the IMF, not any government operating outside your borders. The issuance schedule is written in code. It doesn't care who's in power. For someone in Argentina who's watched the peso lose over 99% of its value in the last decade, this isn't an abstract property. It's the difference between savings that survive and savings that don't. Argentina now has one of the highest per capita Bitcoin adoption rates in the world. People didn't need a white paper to figure that out. Fourthly, the CBDC threat is real and Bitcoin is the only answer. This matters more in 2026 than it did even a few years ago. As governments push towards central bank digital currencies, the unbanked face a new and specific threat. CBDCs don't solve financial inclusion. They formalize financial surveillance. A government-issued digital currency is programmable money. It can be turned off for people who don't comply, restricted to certain purchases, set to expire if not spent, or denied entirely to people flagged by an algorithm. The people already on the margins of the financial system, CBDCs, don't represent inclusion. They represent conditional access. You get to participate in the economy as long as you behave the way the state defines behaving. Bitcoin is the alternative, not a better CBDC, a fundamentally different thing. Money that is owned by the person holding it, not lent to them by a state. Ownership is the education. There's something that happens when someone who's never had a savings account holds their first sats in a self-custody wallet. It's not just a payment tool. It's a crash course in Austrian economics that nobody had to assign. They learn about scarcity because they're holding something scarce. They learn about time preference because they have to decide whether to spend or save. They learn about self-custody because they understand viscerally what "not your keys, not your coins" actually means after a lifetime of watching institutions fail them. The financial system taught billions of people how to borrow, how to spend. Bitcoin teaches ownership. That's a more radical act than it sounds. What we do at Bitcoin Well. At Bitcoin Well, we think financial sovereignty isn't a premium feature, it's the baseline. Our non-custodial model means that when you buy Bitcoin through us, it goes directly to your wallet. We never hold it on your behalf. We can't freeze it, lose it, or lend it out. You own it from the moment the transaction settles. That model exists because we believe the goal isn't to get people into a better version of the old system. It's to get people out of the system that was never built for them in the first place. If you're ready to own your money, actually own it, not rent it from a bank, the Bitcoin Well portal at bitcoinwell.com is the place to start. Not your keys, not your coins. Your keys, your coins. That's the whole idea.